door. Speelt de bal. Heel goed naar Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp neemt de bal aan. Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp. Frank de Boer speelt de bal naar Dennis Bergkamp. Die neemt de bal Feyenoord. Tot Brazil. Can you believe it?
Wow.
Delay. Do not scratch your eyes. You are really seeing the most extraordinary finish here. Japan! They called the Babbitt out of the hat again. Can you believe it?
Lovely cushion header.
But Gerrard! Oh, you beauty! What a head strike! What a head!
Working in it.
Jesper Gürtler! Manuel Gürtler scored for Germany!
Messa fuori, dice Pirlo, 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 ancora Pirlo, di tacco, Pirlo, grosso, grosso, gol di grosso, gol di grosso.
It's Iniesta! And the Chelsea fans cover their eyes in horror. 2 minutes from time and it's heartbreak at Stamford Bridge.
So what can he create from here? A little bit of room to pick out. A great ball. Sanchez, great team.
Magisterial, Lionel. Magnifico.
They are in again with a good ball. Ramsey changing the pace. Sanchez. 3-0. Liverpool in deep trouble. Arsenal on the rampage.
Yeah, that's a lovely touch. It has Giovinco on his way. Sebastian Giovinco. It's 2-2. Oh, it was splendid. Top draw, Sebastian Giovinco.
Brasileño lo hizo, su capitán, Thiago Silva, como.
As the finest player that I've ever seen in the modern era, Zinedine Zidane.
So the Chinese Super League, eh? Crazy what's happening in the last couple of months, years.
Cause I know crazy.
Who went there? Paulinho went there because we had a goal of the week from him in the Chinese league, and we thought it was maybe just a one-off. What's he doing in China with Scolari, right? But you see the type of money they're throwing around, and now you know
what is happening there.
I have no idea. Everything.
Jackson Martinez had like terrible year. He's getting rewarded, like they're saying, reportedly almost up to $49 million. I was like, what is happening here?
I don't know who else went. Where Ramirez went there.
I'm hoping Luis Adriano can go there, but
who
they
went
can't
there?
Even get rid of him.
Teixeira went there from Shakhtar. Signed there today.
Oh my God. He was supposed to go to Liverpool.
Yeah, he was. $50 million. You should have seen on Twitter. You should see Klopp's face. It's hilarious.
Oh,
but yeah, so I don't know, man. There was a tweet that I retweeted on the Football Weekly account, @football_weekly. It said, so Teixeira, Ramirez, and Martinez will never hear from them again in a league that league that will be done in 2 years.
Yeah,
so I thought that was quite funny, actually.
I mean, we know why they're going. I don't have to say why would they go there. We know why they're going.
Dollar bill, man.
That's right, man.
Anyways, welcome to the Football Weekly Podcast. We're your hosts, Joe and Reggie. Tonight, we're going to be talking about, well, you know what, Joe? I said it last week. I don't like talking about Arsenal, but again, every
they
time...
They give us a lot to talk about.
Every time you think you're out, these guys pull you back in, man.
I said this for the last little while. This is, they have to get this together. This is their the year to win it.
Gross.
But now you have the minnow that won't go away.
It's just
the billion-dollar babies that have enough qualities that, you know, maybe take it themselves in Man City. And what is going on? North London might have it, but dare I say it?
And so we'll talk about that. And then we might talk about Syria if we have enough time, because the second half of the... We're not going to get into that, Joe. Trust me. The second half of that of the show is going to be dedicated to the second half of our interview with Patrice Geiser. If you haven't listened to the first part one of that interview, go back to our last episode and listen to that. It's the whole second half of the show, just as this part of his interview is going to be the whole second half of the show. So go back and listen to that. Definitely, definitely, definitely. We're going to squeeze in a flat four.
We got a special flat four.
Okay, so we're going to do a flat four, and we're going to do a goal of the week. This goal of the week is a no-brainer, like Joe said. And
I think if you were watching football this week, you know what's coming.
You know what's coming for sure, for sure, for sure. So as usual, you can reach our podcast at our website, www.footballweekly.com, football spelled FUTBOLweekly.com. You can subscribe to our podcast on Joe.
We know you can get us on iTunes, but you get us a Stitcher.
Right.
Player FM.
Yes.
Well, that's all I got for you this week.
And tune in. There's a number of different podcatchers you can get our podcast on. You can subscribe via email. Join the forum, start topics, talk to other like-minded football minds, and get your opinions on Champions League, EPL, La Liga, Real, Barcelona, whatever you want to talk about, you can put it all down there. And also also follow us on Twitter, at football, F-U-T-B-O-L, _weekly. Joe, let's get into this right now. We don't have a lot of time to waste, so let's do this.
We gotta go.
Let's do this. We'll be back after this.
His legs are fresh. Ramos' arms. Robin's trying to go around him. Still a chance for Ian Robin. It's five!
So this week's show, we're going to start off with the Serie A.
Amazing. Wow, you know, you guys should be proud of me.
Amazing. Look where I am. Look where you've gotten me.
Hey, it's a good place.
Yeah, so Juventus
lost. Look where your mind is, Reg.
Juventus lost this week. Oh, wait, no. They won again, didn't they?
They did it. This is now lucky 13 in a row, Reg.
Wow.
So they had two wins, right? So we're going to go with Serie A did a weekend midweek fixture.
Mm-hmm.
Or fixtures.
You're right.
And Juventus, ho-hum, just keeps rolling on.
Who'd they play this week?
So this week, Reg, on the weekend, they had a victory. They beat Chievo 4-0. And then Genoa, okay. I believe, beat them 1-0. So they had a great week. 5 goals in 2 games. The beat goes on. Max Allegri came out saying, so what? We've won these games, but Napoli keeps going too. Napoli has their own 8-game winning streak happening.
It's amazing. Any other year in that league, you win 8 games in a row, you were in first place at Christmas, you're flying to the
title. You're done. And again, my team, that has caused me a lot of Excedrin headaches and back aches, if you will, actually won the Derby della Madonnina, the Milan derby.
Mm-hmm.
AC Milan wins 3-0. Key moment in this game, Reg. AC Milan up 1-0, and a phantom penalty, if you will,
really?
Was given to Mauro Icardi, who, I guess, when you get those phantom penalties, he hits the post, he misses. And then Milan bags the 2 other goals to seal it away. Again, Carlos Bacca on the score sheet. Here he is now. 12 goals for AC Milan.
That's not bad at all.
And, Niang scoring again, and a 3-0 win for AC Milan. Dare I say they might even see Europe in their sights? Wow. In their midweek game, they come out and they beat Palermo 2-0 again. Carlos Bacca and Niang on the score sheet. Yeah, so, I mean, that's 2 games. It's 5 goals in 2 games and 2 clean sheets. I said it a lot on the podcast. I don't blame Sinisa Mihajlovic. I think he's done a good job with what he's been given. You know, the problems with them are, for me and for a lot of AC Milan supporters around the world, or onlookers, whatever, they're looking at blaming the ownership and administration. But that's your Serie A. Napoli rolling on as well. Again, Gonzalo Higuain continuing to fill the net. Unbelievable. And Caleon, guys that were written off last year,
mm-hmm.
are just Lorenzo Insigne scoring again, doing big things for them. Probably going to punch his ticket to Euro 2016, the Italian national team. So
right.
It's Napoli and Juventus punch for punch, if you will. 13-game win streak. An 8-game win streak.
Exciting.
And, oh, yeah. That team, the Football Weekly Podcast, favorite team, Fiorentina, third place. So, good. Reggie, that's your Express Serie A roundup.
So just before we go on to the debacle at the Emirates this past week, we want to welcome some new members to the Football Weekly Twitter family.
Yep.
So right now we have at SAT Training.
Joe at SAT Training does a great job and helping young athletes prepare for hopefully
for
going down to the NCAA, getting prepared and doing those necessities that is SAT training to take their SAT test. So, yeah, thank you very much for following us.
Yeah, it's definitely, that's an important aspect of, it's not just playing, it's you actually have to get into the school first too, right? So
yes.
He's doing good things. At NR Canada, which is Nick Raimondo.
Yes, thank you for following Nick, one of the members at the Vaughan Soccer Club. And so on. I know Nick's son also plays at TFC Academy. Vaughn as well growing up too. So thank you, Nick, for following us.
And we also want to give a couple of shout-outs to some people that have been listening to the podcast and giving us some positive feedback. Nello Alonzi and Sam's Airport Limo. Thank you for listening.
Oh, yeah. Reggie, got him in.
Got him in. So thanks for listening and keep up the support, and we'll try to make this show as entertaining as we can.
Fantastic.
Let's go to North London, Joe.
Oh, oh, oh.
Now, I, as usual, like I said in the intro, like I said last week, don't like to talk about Arsenal because I seem like a homer this, a homer that, yeah. But sometimes you just gotta, you gotta let
it. You just want to go right into that North London thing, do you? You don't want to talk about what's happening above North London. And I mean in the standings.
Nothing's really happened. What, Man City and Leicester?
Wow. This is the minnows and the millionaires.
Yeah, that's about it. There's nothing else above, is there?
Wow. No. Okay, Reg. No. Well, you know what? We need to talk about North London.
Okay, let's talk about North London then.
You know, Reg, I'll start it off. Dare I say, could it be any worse in a week? So Arsenal has not scored now, Reg, in how long?
This would be the third game? Fourth game. Third or fourth game.
Come on, Arsenal. Wake up.
Okay, go on. I'll save my...
Well, the disappointment ends here. So the transfer window closes.
Right.
And they get, most Gunners fans are upset that no one comes in for Arsenal.
Again.
Here's where I got to agree with you guys. This is scary to me. I really thought this would be the year that someone comes in and a move is made for someone.
Well, the move was made to bring in a defensive midfielder. I'm cutting you off. Go on. I'll tell him about that.
Yeah, yeah. No, Reg, yeah, you're right. But I just think we just mentioned this. This was the year they got to go for it. They have to go for it. It's like these heavyweights that are below them are having an off year, and they're not where we think they might be next year, let's call it. And you got to go for it. You have to go for it. This has to be Arsenal. And I'm supposed to be the guy calming the Arsenal fans down. I'm thinking hammering at the door too.
Joel,
they have to get this together. This, dare I say, this might slip away.
Arsenal fans have seen this movie before, and it ends the same way every year. You come out of the gate flying. Christmas time, we're going to win the league. By March, what the heck's happening? We're out of Champions League. We're in fifth place now, and you know we probably won't be able to catch first place. We're not at that point yet, obviously, but this is how the story usually ends, and we get fourth place, and we celebrate like we just won Champions League. So this happens every year in the Arsenal camp. I don't know, and I said it last week, every decision that Arsene Wenger seems to make backfires.
Conversely, Mauro Pochettino, Spurs, where is this coming from?
They've always been a good team. It's just they could never get it together, and I think Pochettino has them playing their best soccer in about two or three seasons right now. So
you know, Reggie, if it wasn't for a guy doing big things in Leicester in the managerial,
oh yeah,
that's what he's to me. He's the manager of the year in the EPL.
I think so too,
Pochettino. But I mean, this is a runaway for Ranieri. But I mean, again, we mentioned these teams, Leicester and Tottenham, and with all due respect to them, Arsenal, you have to get this together. I've said this on this podcast. This is unacceptable if they do not finish in the top two here. They have to win this, don't they? I mean, do they not have to win this?
Yes. Yes, they do. I don't know what to say anymore, Joe.
Well, dare I say this. This is, you know, teams will hit a lull. We get it. You can't fall out of it.
At this point of the season, the teams that aren't really serious about contending are the ones that are going to hit the lull. Everybody else is going to be guns blazing. You come off a game where you tied 0-0. Leicester won, City won, Tottenham won. These are the teams that you have to keep up with. You can't be dropping points at home.
Now, yeah, and this has become continuous now for Arsenal.
We're dropping points, period, think, right?
Yeah, and I think, Reg, dare I say it again, Arsenal has ties to Europe. They have, you know, they're going to be playing a European game soon, Champions.
Mm-hmm.
Tottenham will be playing European games.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Man City as well.
Mm-hmm.
Leicester, one team that's not.
Leicester's not.
So, like, you know, this is... We keep waiting for them to fade. Yeah. We mentioned the analogy, or we made a joke about this, I believe, on our podcast way back, and we mentioned that, you know, is Leicester the team that's, you know, resembling Kramer on Seinfeld without any gas, and keep going, let's see how much, yeah, the engine light, yeah, comes on. Yeah. How much can we go? How much further can we go?
For sure.
Could Leicester ride this one out?
The only way they don't is if Vardy or Mahrez get hurt. That's it. If they stay healthy, it's done.
What a tandem.
I think anyway, they're going to cause problems And if Arsenal plays the same, they play Arsenal on Valentine's Day, I believe. Oof. If they play the same way they played against Southampton, that's not going to cut it.
If you had told me Arsenal wouldn't score goals, I thought you were a liar. The problem I've always seen with Arsenal is maybe that, you know,
they leak too many.
Scoring goals was never their problem. Well, but again, in the big scheme of things, you want to be in contention. They are in contention. I'll take it back to calming our Gunner faithful. Relax. I know it seems bleak.
Mm-hmm.
I still think you have brighter days. But
if you're going to play,
not sure how much longer I'll be saying this.
If you're going to play Aaron Ramsey and Matthew Flamini together in the midfield, then you're not going to see any better days.
Matthew Flamini was chased out of AC Milan. I still don't get that one. I don't get that one, Rich.
It's the second worst combination on Arsenal right now.
It's a bad combo.
It's the worst combination. The first worst combination is Mikel Arteta and anybody. The second one is Ramsey and Flamini. You have Oxlade-Chamberlain, you have Chambers, and you have the new guy that we just signed, Mohamed Elneny, who was being rested in that game, which I have no idea why. He hasn't played in a month. He played his first game in an FA Cup game on Saturday. He looked great. I guess it was Burnley. Okay, I get it. It's Burnley. But he still looked like he'd been playing on this Arsenal team for 5 years, and it was his first game. And the next game, he's sitting on the bench in a suit. You're resting him for what?
This is what I get angry with Arsene Wenger about, is talk about this arrogance that he's had and you know, taking things for granted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think this is where he has done that. He has done that. You know, players who are in form need to play. And I get the resting thing. Mm. But in world football, and we've mentioned this before, those days I think are past us, Reg.
Yeah.
I think the days of resting for Europe and resting for big games, I think those days are behind us because there's just too much competition, just the day in and day out grind of getting results in games in world football today. The competitive nature of it is too high.
Right.
And I don't think you can just take games for granted. You know, and have that, you know, lack of humility in your approach.
You rest players in the beginning of the season so they'll be ready for the end of the season. You don't rest them at the end of the season.
This is the going for the jugular moment.
Exactly.
And you know, they're not doing that. I'm a staunch defender of them. I just don't know how much longer I can do it.
Yeah, well, I'll always be here, unfortunately, but... You got to get rid of it. And I was talking, actually, and the last thing I'm going to say about this, I was talking to somebody today about it, actually, and they were asking, why don't you get a new manager? I know why they're not going to get a new manager, because, well, there's none left out there anyway. All the managers have been snapped up, the ones that are, you know, I guess, quote-unquote, big name, Pep and Klopp and Mourinho. Mourinho won't come to Arsenal. But if Pep wants to come to Arsenal, he's going to want $150 million transfer budget available to him right off the bat.
Yeah, Klopp, you're right.
Klopp will want $100 million. Mourinho will want $150 million. Right now, the board's got a guy who's only going to spend $5 million every year. Who are they going to keep? These guys are just in it for the money. So
yeah, we often forget that, yeah, we're fans, but business is business.
Yeah, it's a business. Arsenal's a business.
And the bottom line is the bottom line. You're right. And clubs have transfer policies and rules that they follow and guidelines that they have. And unfortunately, Reggie, I believe you're right.
Yeah.
So if they're going to do it, they're going to do it with the horses they have.
Yeah.
Or don't have, or are injured.
Rizicky's injured again. He's done for the season. He ruptured a thigh muscle or something like that. He played 20 minutes in his last game. So.
And dare I say, Alexis Sanchez,
yeah,
you need to be here.
He played well, actually, but Walcott, another... Anyway, I'm not even going to get into it. Anyways, let's get out of this now.
We're going to leave it with the King Power Boys, yeah. Leicester City.
Yeah, the Foxes.
And Vardy, I almost combined them there.
Vardy, yeah, why not? Why not?
Are continuing their brilliance.
And we'll get into a little bit more of them towards the end of the first segment of this podcast.
And I think we know where we're going with that.
We know where we're going with that. So let's get into the flat four.
It's four. Oh, brilliant. This week, our flat four, Reg. Wow. I think you showed me some gumption last week. You showed me you got something.
Yeah, for sure.
I might put you back in the game. I might give you a start. I might, you know, take a chance on a young guy here.
Okay.
Based on what you showed me last week. Okay. I have faith in you this week.
Uh-oh. So they're going to be harder this week, then.
I still want to beat you. But
okay, all right.
I think you've come a long way since you said La Viola.
The purple, yeah.
Can we have one more of those, Reg?
La Viola.
Wow, that's fantastic. Sassuolo, La Viola, Reggie's just frozen on it. This is good stuff.
Derby della Madadina. Or Madadina.
Wow, that's close. I love it. It sounded good.
Close enough. I say it fast.
Maybe we can order it at a restaurant. Okay.
If I say it fast, it sounds good.
Yeah, that's my goal. Excited. So, Reggie,
yeah.
In honor of your love of the Serie A.
Okay.
And, this is the themes. Reggie's love for the Serie A, a little bit of the EPL.
Okay.
And, of course, to celebrate the USA's 3-2 TFC-inspired win over Iceland. Our first question is this. Reggie is such a staunch supporter of the Serie A. He should know this.
Okay.
What is the first name of the striker, current Torino striker, former Borussia Dortmund and Sevilla striker, Immobile? What is his first name?
Giro.
He ain't going to miss that one.
Wow. Reggie with a bang.
Starting it off with a bang.
Wow, Reg. Is that a little bit too easy for you? Was that a meatball?
Want me to spell it?
Wow. And there you go. That's number one.
Okay.
Reggie gets it.
Go.
Wow. So, Reggie, we mentioned that the fantastic season that is that Gonzalo Higuain is having for Napoli.
Yes.
Right? The Argentinian who is filling the net. Reggie, how many goals does Gonzalo Higuain currently have? And this is a quick one here because, you could cheat here.
No, I know. But I have two numbers in my head and I'm debating which one I should pick, and I'm going to say 22.
What happened there? He missed that!
He has 23 goals.
Oh.
I sweated that one out. Wow, this guy's on fire today, guys.
He scored this past week, then, I guess.
Reggie's fantastic.
Didn't he? Yeah, of course
he did.
Wow,
I got to sharpen my game up here.
Should have known. 2016, okay. I told you.
Listen, you're coming with some good stuff. But, guys, don't never fear.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh,
I have a plan.
Uh-oh. he's softening me up for the haymaker.
Let's just see where we go here. The general.
Yes.
The TFC general.
Yes.
Captain America, if you will.
Yes.
Michael Bradley,
yes.
As they used to say on the Italian. Bradley.
Yes.
Michael Bradley.
Yes.
Okay. Our TFC's captain. What team did Michael Bradley play for in Germany?
Borussia Mönchengladbach.
Oh, my days, what a feast!
Oh, my gosh, guys. Reggie is at 50% with almost 3-for-3.
Come on, guys. I thought this was going to be hard.
This is fantastic.
I thought this was going to be hard.
Reggie. Wow. Okay, Reg.
Yeah.
Your last question
This
week's Flat 4.
Let's go for a good 75%. Come on, Reggie.
And you should have had 100. You should have. Prior to coaching Leicester,
mm-hmm.
Claudio Ranieri was the coach of this team.
Lazio.
Is that your final answer, Reg?
Yes.
Greece.
It looked like it hit the back of the net.
Greece?
Claudio Ranieri coached the Greek national team.
Oh, I knew they were blue. He coached Lazio at some point, didn't he?
He did. He coached Inter, coached Fiorentina. But I think Inter was the last team I believe he coached in Italy. So there you go, guys. I always stuck through.
50%. I don't like that. I don't like that, Joe.
You were close, Reg. You had a 75% right here. 22 goals. That's kind of... I'll take it.
Give me a quarter point for that, right?
I think we're going to have to give you half because they did play in midweek.
Yeah, I forgot about the midweek game.
That's fantastic. Hey, listen, in Italy they might take a 6-month break.
Yeah.
But they do play some midweek games too, Reg.
We have to get it all in before Euro starts, right?
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, our listeners, fantastic job by Reggie.
We gotta keep a running tally so we can at the end of the year we can say how I did. I think we'll start that next week.
I'm slipping, Reg. I gotta raise my game again.
That's okay. You don't have to.
I have to raise my game to all these, to the level of the great guests we put on, right?
Exactly.
So,
and
there you go.
Speaking of that, we just did a nice interview just prior towards starting this show. We did a nice interview with. Do we want to give the name or do you want to leave it for a teaser for next week? I guess.
Reg. Let's just say he's a avid follower of our show. It's a family thing with him.
That should be a hint enough for people that know us, but for all of you guys that don't know us, definitely have a listen for that interview. You'll hear part one of that interview next week, because as usual, when we get talking, we just keep going and going and going, and the stuff gets better and better and better. So we have to split that up into two. So part one is next week. Part two will be the week after. And we're in Joe's in the process of lining up a very, very special, big, big time guest. We're not going to tell you the name. So if we can get that going, you'll definitely want to tune in for that for sure.
For sure.
So right now we're going to get into the goal of the week, and we talked about two of the players that were involved in that, and that's
Reggie.
What are we calling them, Varez?
Oh, I just did it. Right, that's what we do here, right? It just kind of happens.
Yeah. The goal of the week comes from Liverpool versus Leicester. Yes, it's another EPL goal, but when you see this, you'll realize why it was the goal of the week, and here's how it sounded.
Shortening off time, John. If Daniel Sturridge was fit, what a ball by Morris.
Chance for Vardy to run. And Vardy goes first time and scores a stunner. Leicester's very own fantastic Mr. Fox. Even by his standards, even by Leicester's standards, a truly significant and special moment.
Well, I said, John, that it's all Liverpool, and Leicester carry a threat on the break. What a ball by Mahrez, who just sends it, 45, 50 yards. He spins over the back of the stand. One thing in his mind, he's oozing with confidence. He just had one thing in his mind. As that drops, he's going to hit it. He doesn't care if it clears the stadium. He's got that much confidence at the moment. Nearly, absolutely no chance. What, 6 yards off his lane, dipping volley. Fantastic goal, definitely against the run of play.
Well, moments like that just make you wonder, could it happen? Could they really last the whole course?
Well, it's just a fantastic goal by Vardy.
You beauty! What a hit, son! What a hit!
Yeah, it's not bad, not a bad hit.
Okay, right? Wow, Reggie, you just said it when we were. It might be goal of the season.
Oh, it's done, Joe.
This is the fantasy. This is the journey. The Cinderella story continues. What a great story, Leicester City, and this just adds to this fairy tale. This is a great football story.
It is.
This is a great story. Period.
It is.
Dare I say, like, didn't I read this that their Hollywood is looking to make a story about Jamie Vardy?
Really?
And his rise to prominence, because it is a great Hollywood story, isn't it?
I heard he was bagging groceries or something like 3 or 4 years ago.
It's like
ago.
A Kurt Warner-ish story kind of the NFL, right? This is amazing, Reg.
And I actually hope they make the Champions League.
Absolutely.
I hope they do.
We constantly, you hear us talking about this, but, you know, Reggie and I talk about this all the time. This is an amazing story. I don't think, you know, we're enjoying this ride, you know, and of course here on the Football Weekly podcast, that minnow show comes to mind here, and these guys are continuing to ride this wave.
You thought it was just going to be a flash in the pan type of thing, but these guys are just hanging around.
And they won't go away.
Like Mike and Rounders at the KGB, just hanging around.
And what a place the King Power Stadium must be right now this season, Reg.
Well, you know what? He hit that goal at home, too. That place must have went crazy.
And it's kind of, I'm glad he hit it at home. Those fans deserve it, don't they, Reg?
Yeah, they do. They do.
Pretty amazing story.
That's how you do it the right way, right?
Absolutely. And again, we're huge fans of it, like in terms of, you know, being not Leicester City supporters, but Ranieri and those boys, good on you. And hey, dare we say a Champions League spot, maybe even EPL champions, right?
Well, you get the EPL, you're going to get the EPL TV deal money next year, and you're going to get, they make it to Champions League, they're going to get the Champions League money. Dare I say
incredible.
They're going to be a spender in the transfer market. You never
incredible.
Know, right?
Incredible.
There's a lot of players out there that are stalling on signing contracts, and you never know.
Really, just every week they just cease to amaze us, don't they, Reg?
So, guys, that's our condensed. It seems like every show is condensed.
We've got great guests.
Because we got great guests. So, that's our condensed wrap up of, I guess, the EPL Serie A, our two segments. Right now, we're gonna continue with part two of our interview with Patrice Geiser. We finished off talking a little bit about the effect of the NCAA, so we're gonna continue that right after this.
va a chiudere Nesta, c'è Tadei che mette giù, attenzione, Totti solo, il tiro, rete, rete, Roma in vantaggio, proprio lui, Francesco Totti, gran gol, Roma, strepitoso in questa dia.
And once again, this is our second part of our interview with Patrice Geiser at the Vaughan Soccer Club, high performance program, enjoy.
That's right, yeah,
you know,
sure.
The English players aren't the most technical player, but I will say, biggest issue that lies to them in NCAA, and it's come to surface, and I'm so happy, it's such a short season. You have to play literally 16 to 18 league games, 6 potential conference games, and maybe 8-7 conference tournament games. All of that in a matter of 3 months.
It's grueling.
It's almost madness to think of that. They are currently discussing a spring season.
That's right.
So I think as a result, Reggie, think about you and I coaching a very good institution. Mm-hmm. We go in, we work on possession style, good up-tempo football. We try to emulate and become Arsenal. Well, all right.
That's good. See what he did there, right?
Side. Yeah. Well, we'll have you on again for sure.
Yeah. We get some bad results on the road, Reggie. Our 2-star players drop. Mm-hmm. We find ourselves potentially not making the conference playoffs. So what do? We resort to perhaps playing transition, set pieces, and this is where the emphasis of physicality comes into play, and the kids are so fit in NCAA, it's absolutely frightening.
Yep.
They do play a lot of games, and it is based on a lot of press.
Nice.
Or, if you sit back, it's a lot of transition pedal to metal. So I think if the change is coming, and the season gets a bit longer, then these coaches, and there's some great coaches in NCAA, have the chance to coach more and not just be caretakers who have to manage basically maintaining injuries and keeping the team healthy during the season. Because you get your 2 weeks in preseason, you get your first week, and then after that, it's 2 games a week, 3 games a week.
And you still have to practice, right? Yeah. So,
right, but most of those are regeneration, preparation, walk through for the next game.
Right.
So I think, it's fair to say from any European player that the NCAA guys are tactically perhaps a bit naive. Technically, they're okay. They're super fit. They're super strong.
Right.
You know, today, Reggie and Joe, if you were to ask any agent and scout, I got a Canadian kid. He's my little nephew. He's a great player. Can you help him with a trial in Europe? And you ask them, what is the first characteristic you need? I think 90% of them will not say height, size, shape, technical ability, or any of that. They're going to say character and mentality.
Yep.
Okay.
And I think what you get out of NCAA from some of these coaches who train 6:30 in the morning and they push you, they get in your face. I think what you're going to get out of it is a lot of character, mental stability and mental toughness, and that's going to go a long way for life, for soccer, becoming a father, becoming a better son, better student, and all that stuff.
It's funny you say that, Patrice, because we're just, as we follow our guys and we just follow Kamal Miller at Syracuse, and just reading, you know, some of the stuff on Twitter, and their head coach, Ian McIntyre, Patrice knows very well, tweeted today, good to get back working with the boys. That's, what are they, maybe a month and a half, maybe a month out of playing in the College Cup, and they're started up again. So there really is, what do they get, Patrice, maybe a month of rest at all, and then they're already back at it. And, you know, Patrice is not exaggerating for all you guys listening. They are running at 6 a.m. in the morning. Right?
Well, that's how you get to the College Cup, though, no?
That's right, right? And I think Patrice,
a lot of programs, even right now when they've started, because remember, it's not like it's club soccer, we'll be training in the evening. They want these guys resting in the evening and doing homework, so they maintain a GPA. I mean, it is a life of 2 different tells. They need to be a good student. They need to be a good athlete. So times 24 hours isn't perhaps enough hours in one day for these guys to manage that life. But it takes sacrifices, and many of the boys are doing it.
So Patrice recently came back from a tournament.
Pretty big one.
Pretty big one.
Sunny Florida,
the Disney Showcase. I had never heard of it until Joe was mentioning it to me. I did some research on it.
That's why I'm here, Rich.
So if you could tell the people a little bit about that tournament, what the purpose of it was, and how you did.
So there's a huge war at States going on right now.
Okay.
Where it's club soccer
has
really dropped its level. More and more kids want to play in what's called USSBA, which is the Academy Leagues.
Right.
So whereas 8 years ago, we used to go to a lot of club showcases. It was very, very good. You don't find that anymore. Now, you have to be selective and only go to certain club showcases where the competition is great. But when the competition is great, the facility has to be good. And when the facility and the competition is great, then you get a lot of coaches that come in. Disney is probably the best showcase. The fields are immaculate. It's where I think the Florida Classic was 2 weeks ago, featuring Bayer Leverkusen and Hertha Berlin and Schalke and America from Mexico and MLS teams play. And a lot of good teams come in. So it attracts over 200 college coaches from NCAA, from the likes of, you know, Indiana, Maryland, two smaller schools. But we have 18 players, and each kid has a different need. So that's what I love about Disney, that there's such a vast amount of coaches there.
Well, Patrice is being a little modest. Patrice, you guys actually did very well in terms of results and also with recognition. So we want to speak a little bit about what it felt like for the boys, especially to perform very well and, of course, be crowned champions in their division.
Yeah, you know, we've gone there the past 3 years, and I could say past four of the past 5 years. And the competition is very tough. And obviously the climate going from zero to 30 degrees at Orlando is not easy for Canadian kids. And, you know, they usually we do okay the first game. Game two, we're pretty good. Game three, we start to get tired and drop the points, and then we're out. We did go prepared. Our guys were super focused. You know, I think in the past where we've gone and in their off hours, the guys have gone to a mall or went to the movies. You know, we really lived a life of just really focusing on every game. Fantastic. Immediately after game, regen. And some yoga, stretching, team walks, team meetings. So 24/7, our thought was about the moment the game ended, we were already preparing for the next game.
That's great.
So we did do very well. We were in the highest bracket, in the top flight, and we went undefeated. You know, we had some really good results. And
fantastic.
And I think what really had me proud of the boys is that they got better every game. They played football the right manner, and, you know, they really turned some heads. I mean, we've had some amazing, amazing feedback, some massive schools saying that this team was one of the best youth teams they've seen in the past 3-4 years, and that includes the travels across many countries in the world. So
fantastic.
That's a bold statement, and that's a big compliment to our club and our team and these boys.
So what other teams were there, like other nations, other countries? What invited
them? No, just North America.
Oh, just North America? Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's all the top teams from U.S. You know, I think the tournament goes to U15, 17, U19 in each year or each age. There's about 8 brackets, and at each bracket there's 8 teams, and it goes from the top teams to the bottom. And, you know, there's teams coming from Minnesota to Arizona to Tennessee, to all over U.S. that come down. And
Canadian awesome.
Teams usually go, but not as often, because it's very costly, Reggie, to go there, obviously.
Oh,
but the attendance of coaches and competition, second to none.
That's great.
So, Patrice, we've mentioned, you know, in passing here in our great conversation, I mean, Reg, this is amazing having Patrice on. For all the listeners, we've got to have him back on.
For sure.
Right, because this is amazing stuff. We'll continue with this. But we mentioned in passing, so last year was a pretty strong year. We've had so many players, and we're going to mention a lot of the players, guys, and I know a lot of the guys are listening to us, and if we don't mention your name today, don't worry, we will definitely keep mentioning you. But last year was a pretty special year, Patrice. I mean, you guys, you went to Disney last year, and some of the things is, it's almost like the icing on the cake. We talked about Dane St. Clair, who's currently at Maryland, was fantastic last year at Disney. You also sent, now we've mentioned him a few times, Kamal Miller at Syracuse, great year there at center back. And of course, Deion Harris, who's at Penn State. All three of these guys, part of your Vaughan High Performance program, they all have made youth appearances in the national program, which is fantastic. What about some of the guys or some of the schools, either or Patrice schools or some of the guys that are making waves, you know, potentially next year in the NCAA? I know also this year there was a U20 camp in Toronto, or U18, Pat, or U18 or U20 camp. You would know more about that. And
it was a U18 slash for the next group of U20s, right?
And you did send some players there too.
Yeah, it was very, I mean, you know, To just to add a couple of other names, Joe, from last year, you know, we had Kyle Green and Lucas Contillo, who went to Robert Morris.
Yep.
Lucas had just the most exciting season. And
twice, you know, Rookie of the Week, maybe three times, or the NEC Rookie of the Week. And just for our listeners there, Patrice, you know, we do send a lot of guys at Robert Morris. We have Jake Cooper there too as well. There's a couple other players Patrice has sent there as well. We have a couple of guys that will be transferring. We'll talk about them. But also, Patrice, on that note, since you mentioned that conference and that team that you know very well, just had a player drafted in MLS as well, in Nico Brett.
That's right.
So there's a place for every player, every team. Patrice always talks about there's a school for every kid, right, Patrice? And what are some of the schools
and
players?
You know, the thing we talk about with our boys is that it's great to talk about Dane. It's great to talk about Kamal and Dion and our current team, you know, Munir Saleh and, you know, Niall Higgins and Alistair Johnston. But our program succeeds when every young man has a home. And there is a home for everybody. The thing that I emphasize is I come up with five things you're looking for. Do not at all be willing to give up those five things. You know, and those things could be distance, the level of academics, the style of football, the relationship with your coach, your teammates, conference, winning history, history of draft. Look for those things.
Right.
Think about it. And then when you go on your visits, look at those things. So, you know, we were very successful. I mean, I truly believe this year we're going to do something incredible and have, you know, 18 out of the 18 guys find a home at a very good school.
Fantastic.
And each of them almost a school of their choice. So now I have to settle for their 20th choice. And that comes with being a good student, follow-ups, working hard, playing well, and being a good young man. So, you know, that a lot of that has to tie in with it. But, you know, our program is turning heads. You know, we're lucky. We have a good reputation. You know, wherever we go, a lot of coaches come watch our games.
Right.
So that obviously helps our boys because they're being showcased well.
For sure. You know, just to note for our listeners again, we've had an interview with Mathieu Laurent, who's also part of this program, Patrice, right, and so on. He's at UAB, played at the U17 World Cup. Austin Ricci, who we mentioned here, is also part of this high-performance program. He was the Horizon Player, Offensive Player of the Year, I believe. And, of course, even one of, you know, even further back, a 1995-born kid we mentioned here, Daniel Cremarosa, had a great year at UB and been a long-time player for Patrice, all the way back to the SC Toronto days, I believe, Patrice.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's when, you know, I was lucky enough to be the head coach of in the Canadian Soccer League at one of its greatest moments. You know, there was such strong tradition with Toronto, Croatia, Serbia, White Eagles, York Region Shooters, and the league was super strong. And, you know, playing young men like Daniel Cremarosa, 16, Jared Phillips, Brandon John, who's currently in Germany, Trey Crosby, who's in Germany. We played Jonathan Osorio when he was 19 years old, and he was a guy. You know, and now he's with Toronto FC. Charlie Trafford, he was 19 years old, and now he's playing in Finland and just moved over to Poland,
that's
I believe.
Right.
You know, Brennan McNichol, Jarek Whiteman, Kyle Hall, and the list goes on.
Jay Chapman of TFC as well.
Jay Chapman. Yeah, I mean, it's a long list of these great young players that have become good men now. So I think that the key is having faith in these boys, giving them a chance to fail. And when they do, give a man to pick them up and then kick them. You know, I think a lot of times what we need to look at as coaches, it needs to be a hug, kiss, kick, punch, pick them up, hug, kick, punch, pick them up, hug, until they get it. Not every kid's going to get it right away.
Right.
And I think it's our having high standards of them and pushing them. But when they fail and they fall, we got to pick them up.
Absolutely.
And again, give them another chance.
And it's about that, right? It's about opportunities. Patrice, you've mentioned about challenging them, putting them in those different situations. Not only in big games, right, Patrice? Every day, even in training. And a lot of the guys that, you know, we've encountered and in my short time with Patrice, they always talk about, you know, when we are traveling this stuff or we're just talking outside, they do say that they always feel prepared at their school or at their, you know, where they were in the pro level and so on. They feel prepared. So I guess, not I guess, we know it speaks to a lot of what you and what Carm have laid out in terms of the blueprint for what success is. So I guess challenging the kid in training is that it's, you know, it's the optimum importance, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, one of my former players who was on my 91 team, Roger Thompson, who went to Cincinnati, and then he's now playing top flight in Sweden, and he's one, you know, was voted to Sweden's top defender of the year. He was here, and I still keep a great relationship with him when we're talking. And you know, when he was back home, he came to train with us a little bit with the younger lads just to see the new group. And, you know, you could see that there is great young talent and how we're continuing to develop him and push him. And he was talking about that, you know, in the environment, he showed up and he saw one of our sessions, 30 guys, full field,
a lot
of older guys.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, wow, this is a downscale version of my team in Sweden, but, you know, this helped me feel like I belong. So when I got there, I wasn't starstruck and lost.
That's
I felt
point.
Prepared. And, you know, Milovan Kapor, Milovan went to UMBC, and in his senior year, he led the nation in assists, and now he's playing in Slovenia, and very comfortable, and, you know, we're really proud of him, and we expect him to continue to grow. But, you know, we talk about the Matthews and Kamal and Dane. There's many other names that we've been able to produce.
That's
you
right.
know, if anyone has a chance, they could go on our VaughnHB.com website, and there's a list of our alumni that's listed, and they could see some of the great players that we've had. And I apologize if we don't have enough time to mention them all individually, but,
yeah.
you know, our program prepares them so when they get there, they at least are mentally tuned in to know what to expect. Obviously, the level is high and well above beyond it, but they know how to carry themselves.
We'll put all that information up, Reg, all the links and
sure.
so on for sure.
Definitely. But
Patrice, before we want to give out your information for sure about
right.
where to find you on Twitter, all that stuff. And, of course, Reggie, he was so good with that. We'll definitely talk about that. Reg, we
yes.
got to ask Patrice this, though. I mean, we've done a lot of good talk. This was great.
Right.
Arsenal, you're a Gunners fan.
Yeah.
You know, I'm suffering. I'm trying to, you know, get out of the woods here, the AC mm-hmm. Milan sufferer. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, I have a little bit of love for Barcelona. But this, Patrice, do you want to tell us in world football, you know, just have a little fun here. Who do you look to? You know, you want to, that few, those few moments that you do have to yourself, who do you want to watch? Who do you like to watch, Patrice?
Oh, no.
Whether it be a team.
You
know,
we're okay with that? Just because he's going to say what?
Oh,
go ahead. Tell him, Patrice. Go ahead.
Hey, Reggie, you know, before everybody came on the Barcelona band.
See, this is the Patrice we know. Yeah, here he goes. Yeah.
I mean, I have 40 jerseys since the days of...
the Frank Rijkaard days? Or, oh, wow.
Stoichkov, he wins. Drop the mic,
Ronald
it's over.
Koeman.
Yeah, okay.
And then
wow.
when you move it over to the days of Ronaldo,
mm-hmm.
then you move it over to Rivaldo, and you go to Deco and Ronaldinho.
You just said the name. It's going to get Reggie to buy you some dinner.
Ronaldinho. That's my guy. Couple of big names there, eh?
Yeah, I mean, the history is great. But yeah. I will say, in really regards of who do I enjoy watching, I've tried to become not as biased. When I look at the sport today and I try to enjoy every game and I love to see the different style of each team. So, you know, I love watching Barcelona, love watching Arsenal, love watching Bayern Munich, love to see Man City because each team brings a different element.
Right.
And it's good to see teams that press, teams that sit back, the technical ability. So, I think, the level of coaching has really, really grown across the world. And more they're bringing input
yes.
coaches. So
right.
it's great to see that.
Well, since you put Arsenal in there, well, I think
and
we'll
he gave
we'll
you Ronaldinho, too.
Yeah,
I didn't even set him up.
That's okay. We'll have you
he
back.
Made him so happy today, Pat.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to give out your Twitter information right now, we can do that, and then I'll also put that on the website as well. So if whenever people go to the website, they can follow you.
Patrice421, and I'll send you guys my information. You know.
Yeah, we'll put up the stuff.
I'm not too outspoken with my views. I try to be neutral and appreciate the bigger picture of the sport. But I think the idea is we love to see Canada make the World Cup.
For
and
sure.
I'm tired of always
yes.
sharing with someone else.
We've always talked about
it
here too, Patrice. You're right. Absolutely.
We've said that I don't even know how many times.
Yeah, it's been at nauseam.
It's about time. We've had all this talent. All the kids are going and coming back. And it has to be now, right?
That's right.
I agree. I mean, listen, I was watching a Europa game. And to see Atiba Hutchinson play and play so well and Junior Hoylett coming aboard
right.
and then playing for us. I think these are exciting times, but I find myself saying that every year. So
yeah, and Patrice, we're going to talk about something hopefully on the horizon with maybe possibly Gershon Kofi. We're going to get to that on the podcast soon. So we'll see. Hopefully that happens too. A lot of guys, the CSA is looking for some guys to maybe get that passport. So
it's about time we're doing something like this because other countries have been doing it for years, right? So
For sure.
So yeah, did we get some gold here today, Reg? We got gold here with Patrice. This was great.
I think this is platinum.
This is amazing. So that's a step up of gold? I don't know. Okay, is that what it is?
I think so.
That was fantastic, Pat.
Great information. We always like to have guys in the know of what we're talking about. It's easy for us to sit here and say this, that, and the third, but to get it straight from somebody that's in it is always appreciated, and we thank you for joining us today.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on, and, you know, I look forward to following you guys.
Yeah. Thanks, Pat.
No, we'll definitely have you on again. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
So that was part two of our interview with Patrice Geiser. I hope you guys enjoyed it. So that's our Football Weekly show for this week. As usual, you can get to us on our website, footballweekly.com. You can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM. You can subscribe via email. Go to the website and have a look at the goal of the week. Play the audio of the goal of the week on the podcast, but we also put a video of the goal. So if you haven't seen it, just go to the website, take a look. They're usually pretty good. So as usual, thank you for listening to the Football Weekly podcast, and we'll catch you next week.